good evening, everyone. It's good to be home and good to see you in church tonight. And we had a great trip. I thank the Lord for all the that we got to see and got to do. It was a little abbreviated, a little shorter trip than we're accustomed to taking, but we got in an awful lot. Got to see an awful lot of good things and a couple of new things, and so we had just a good time. And right now it's about 5 minutes after 2 in the morning for me and for several others. And so if you see a few folks sleeping around here tonight, don't bother them. I think they'll be back to normal here. Probably about one or two more days, you ought to start swinging around to normal. But anyway, it's good to be home. And we left in a snowstorm, came back to 70 degrees, and then overnight it went down to 23. And we had 75 and 80 degree temperatures all week long in Israel, and so that was nice. And then come home to this. So. But anyway, we had a great trip, and thank you for praying for us, and next time we go, I hope that we can take all of you with us. I tell you, it is just so exciting, the things you learn, right? Right, Karen? Right? Helen? Wake up, Helen. Anyway, we had a great time. Our guide, we had a new guide this time because the guy that I used for years died of a heart attack, and then the guy that I used last two trips died from cancer, and so we got a new guide. I told him, I said, I hate to tell you, I don't have a good record with guides, but anyway, he was great. He was fantastic, and so he was teasing our group. He said, this is the shoppingest group I've ever had in my life. I don't know if you read in the paper, but the Israeli national debt went down just because of us being there last week. The interest rates dropped 2%. Gas prices went down. I mean, it was amazing. I've never seen people spend so much money in all my life. But we had a great trip, and I'll be sharing a few things with you that we learned. I worked on a sermon today. From something that I learned when I was over there, that I'll be preaching Sunday morning, and just all kinds of neat things. This guy was very, very sharp and pointed out a lot of things that I did not know, and so it was beneficial. But it's good to be home, and praise the Lord for safety in the air and safety in the bus. And you guys were right; that bus does go in the snow. It just went right on, didn't care, and. And so I wasn't sure that airplane was going to get off the ground. I pulled my feet up after about half a mile down that runway. I didn't think we were going to get off the ground. It was snowing so hard. And they just came out with three machines and blew the snow off of it with this orange stuff. And we took off, and I couldn't believe it. But anyway, we did, and thank the Lord for it. One of the groups, five people from left from the Atlanta airport, were supposed to meet us in New York, and they didn't get there till the next day because they were not letting planes land at JFK. They were letting them take off, but they wouldn't let them land. And when I found that out, I got a little nervous about that. I just didn't like that at all. I said, what? And he said, well, they can't land. I said, but we can take off? What's the difference? I mean, you're still on the runway, and you're in a box that you have no control over. I mean, it's the same principle. But Anyway, we made it and safely made it, so we're thankful for that. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to serve you. And, Lord, we thank you for our salvation. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. And as we open the Scriptures tonight, I pray you will bless our study of the Word. Lord, we realize the Word of God is eternal, and Lord, we want you to teach us eternal truths tonight. Speak to our hearts through what we learn, that Lord, it will not just be head knowledge, but we'll be able to apply it to our hearts, and Lord, it'll increase our faith, and just help us to be stronger Christians for your name. Lord, we pray that you will have liberty to move in our midst and speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will will just open our understanding to the things of God. And Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you've done for us, your many, many blessings that you've given. So Lord, guide and direct us now tonight, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, do we have anybody with us tonight for the first time? Any first-time guests in our service tonight? Would you just hold your hand up for a moment? Any first-time guests? All right, sir. Good to have you with us. We welcome you. Right down here, Carol. One of you. Ed, one of you there, if you would. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Well, we're certainly glad to have all of you here. Got a good crowd here tonight. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to study Lazarus being raised from the dead tonight as we go now from the book of Luke to the book of John as we're in our chronological study. And so we'll be learning some things about that tonight. All right, let's shake hands and visit with one another. We'll be back to sing in just a bit.
Number 406 in your hymn book, 406, Who is on the Lord's Side? Number 406.
A prayer bulletin, just lift your hand and the ushers will get one to you. We have several things here to call to your attention to pray for. Our prayer verse tonight, Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And our hospital list tonight, we have Charles Arnold and CCU over at Carroll Hospital Center, then Marilyn Cole at Lorien up in Taneytown. And then our recovering list, Dr. Grammer, we ask you to continue to pray for Dr. Grammer, and he is home now, and of course we can't keep him home. He keeps running to work, and I told him yesterday if he didn't stay home and rest up, I was going to fire him. And he just laughed and turned around and walked away from me. You know? And then Hazel Shipley. Let's continue to pray for Hazel as she recovers. Then our pastor of the week is Pastor Mike Creed. Mike pastors down at the Independent Baptist Church in Clinton, Maryland. A good man, loves the Lord, got a good church down there, great church down there. And the Lord has, Lord's got his hand on Brother Mike, and you pray for him and his ministry. Our church COD pastor of the week is Pastor Alan Camperson. And Alan's been a little under the weather here the last couple of days himself. Our staff person of the week is Kevin Hoffman, and Kevin is our maintenance man here to church, doing a great job. Our missionary of the week is Craig Ledbetter and his family in Ireland. Our college student of the week is Beth Smith at Bob Jones University. Our bus worker of the week is David Gist with the senior adults. Our shut-in of the week is Roxanne Laird in Mount Airy. And our Sunday school class of the week is the King's Messengers class. And Cliff and Rachel Leister are the teachers in that class. If you'll turn on the inside, we have two upcoming surgeries. Lou Beasold is having surgery on the 15th, and also Wayne Rickey on the 15th. So let's remember to pray for these folks as they're looking at surgery. Our request here in the middle, many, many names. Some of these are illnesses. Some are family problems. There's a multitude of things that are here. And these folks need our prayers. They've entrusted our church to pray for them and their families. And so these folks' names here are for a reason. They want us to pray for them, or their families want us to pray for them. And in the first column, you'll see Betty Bayshore highlighted there. That's a new name on our list. And then over in on the next page, in the fourth column, there is Chase McGow, I think is how you say this. And I believe that this is a newborn baby. Is that right? Did I understand that? Yes, I did. Faye Norman's grandson. And so let's pray for this newborn baby. And I believe that's it. And then on the back, we want to express our sympathy to George and Barbara Burchard, passing of George's grandmother, Hazel Kesner. And the funeral was Monday in Manchester, so pray for George and Barbara. They're here tonight. Pray for them and their family. And then Barbara Dean and family at the passing of her mother, Dorothy Eichner, on Thursday, March the 3rd. The viewing will be held this Friday at the Burgee Hens Sites Funeral Home in Hampton. I presume this is, where is this, in Baltimore? Huh? This is down in Baltimore, okay. And so a memorial service will be held at the Good Shepherd Church in Baltimore at 11. So let's pray for Barbara Dean and her family at the passing of her mother. All right, let's remember also to pray for Living Cross. Living Cross, believe it or not, is just a week and a half away. And that does not seem possible, but it is. And so let's pray for the Lord to bless Living Cross and everything to come together, and the Lord to use it to save souls. All right, we're going to have one stanza or a chorus, and then we'll pray.
Number 356, we'll stand and sing just the fourth stanza of I Must Tell Jesus. On stanza number four, 356.
Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come tonight claiming the promises that you give us in your word. And Lord, specifically tonight, we claim Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And Lord, we know that your word will not fail. We just thank you so much for the power of the word. And Lord, as we claim these promises and pray for these folks that are in need, we realize, Lord, of course, that we want your perfect will to be done. But Lord, as humans and people that love and care for others, Father, our will is that you would put your hand of healing upon these folks that are in the hospital and just bless them and lift them up. But Lord, help us to be mindful of your will and to pray for your will to be done. Lord, we just thank you that we have prayed for many, many people from this pulpit. And Lord, on Wednesday nights for years, we've called out names and we have prayed for your blessing. And Lord, you've answered prayer in many, many miraculous ways. And Lord, we thank you tonight that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help in a time of need. And Lord, we've come tonight as needy people, realizing where our hope and where our faith lies. Lord, it lies in thee. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to bring these folks to your throne and to ask for your blessing. And Lord, we pray tonight that you will bless Charles Arnold and Marilyn Cole as they're in the hospital. And Lord, for Marilyn, that you'll just give her strength and Lord, help her as she recovers from the stroke. And Lord, just put your hand of healing upon her. We pray, Lord, that you'll give her determination and help her to do all the things that the therapists are asking her to do, that she might get her faculties back full strength. And Lord, we pray for these that are recovering. We think of our own Dr. Grammer, and Lord, what a blessing Dr. Grammer is to our hearts. We thank you for him, and Lord, thank you for leading him here to work in this ministry. And Lord, what a encouragement he is to all of us. What a blessing he is to my heart, Father, as you know, I've leaned upon his wisdom many, many times. And Lord, we pray that you will bless him and put your hand upon him, lift him up. I pray that you'll heal his body of this infection. And Lord, that there will not be anything that will hinder him from doing the work that you've called him to do. Lord, we also pray for Hazel Shipley. We just pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen her and get her back on her feet and back to church again. And Lord, we pray for our pastor of the week, Brother Creed, down in Clinton. We ask, Lord, your richest blessings upon him as he is in a hotbed of liberalism and Lord, right in the midst of all of that corruption. And I pray that you will just put your hand upon him, that, Lord, you will empower him as he proclaims the word of God, that, Lord, you'll fill him with your spirit and enable and help him to hold forth the banner of truth in Clinton, Maryland. Lord, just help his people to get behind his leadership. And Lord, may they win souls and keep the church strong. And Lord, just pray that you will bless him in a mighty way. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Allen. We just thank you for him. And Lord, pray that you will just meet every need that he has and lift his spirits, Lord. And pray that as he's not been feeling well, that you'll, Lord, help him to get his strength back. And that, Lord, you will raise him up and Lord, get him back where he should be. And Lord, I pray that you will just continue to use him as Lord, he labors here. Thank you for leading him our way. And Lord, I pray that you will bless him now and use him mightily for your honor and your glory. And Lord, we have others here, our staff person of the week, Kevin Hoffman. Thank you, Lord, for Kevin and for his faithfulness. And Lord, thank you for all that he does around here. And I pray that you will just continue to bless him and be with Lord, all the ministries he's involved in. And Lord, not only what he does for a living as he works here at the church, but Lord, all the ministries that he does, just just Lord bless him and encourage him and be with him in every step and every endeavor that he takes on. And Father, we also pray for the Ledbetters, how we thank you for these dear people that labor across the way. And Lord, thank you for the burden that you placed on their hearts. And Lord, as they win souls, and Lord, as they continue to reach out into the area there in Ballincollig and in Cork and in Mallow, Blarney, Lord, just bless them. And I pray that you will help them to reach many, many souls for the cause of Christ. Lord, strengthen those that are in the church. May they catch a little glimpse of their pastor's vision. And Lord, pray for a church for them, that they'll find the property. And Lord, that you'll just bless them mightily and help them to get established in their own church building where they can build a great work for you. And Father, we pray for Beth at college. We ask, Lord, your richest blessings on her. Keep her healthy and help her to stay focused. And Lord, as she's looking at midterms soon, I pray that you will just bless and help her with that. And Lord, just put your hand upon her. We thank you for Beth and for her faithfulness and for the joy of the Lord that's in her heart. And Father, I pray that you will just encourage her and bless her in a great way. Lord, we pray for David and thank you for the work he does with our seniors, senior adults. And Lord, just thank you for faithful men who will give themselves on Sunday to drive buses and work with folks and help them to get to Sunday school and church. And Lord, I pray you'll bless David in a mighty way and continue to use him in our bus ministry. And Lord, we pray for Roxanne Laird. We pray, Father, that you'll encourage her heart tonight. Lord, it must be so difficult to be shut in, but Father, I pray that you will encourage her and that you will be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Lord, just encourage her heart. And then, Lord, we pray for Cliff and Rachel and their Sunday school class, the King's Messengers class. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless as Cliff teaches your word, that, Lord, you will use him to inspire the class to greater heights of service and a greater walk with you. And Lord, we thank you for Cliff and Rachel and for their faithfulness and dedication and all the years of service that they have given in the church. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless them richly, keep them healthy and strong, and Lord, may they continue to minister your word in the class. And Lord, we pray for these on the inside of the bulletin, realizing, Lord, that these folks have urgent needs, and we pray that you will bless them. We thank, Lord, of Lou and Wayne as they're facing surgery next Tuesday. And, Lord, just ask that you will lift them up and encourage their hearts. Help them, Lord, to trust you. May their faith be strong in realizing that, Lord, they're in your hands and in your care. And, Lord, we pray that you will bless them as they go into surgery and just bring them through without any difficulties. And Lord, speed their recovery, and we just pray that Lord, your perfect will be done in their lives. And Lord, for these that have lost loved ones, we pray that you'll comfort and strengthen them, and Lord, encourage them, help them, Lord, to trust you for the strength they need. And Lord, for this new little baby, for Faye Norman's grandson, Lord, little Chase, we pray that you'll bless this newborn baby, and Lord, I pray that you'll put your hand upon that situation. So, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for giving us a good trip and to the Holy Land and for getting us there and getting us back safely. And, Lord, we just pray that you'll bless our service tonight. Pray the Holy Spirit will move and work in our hearts, and we'll give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, just a couple of announcements here before the guys come and receive the offering. Tomorrow's visitation is going to be up in the... What does that say? Good night.
What does that say? Can you read that? What do you see great in that?
It'll be in the room. That's what it looks like to me. Anyway, tomorrow, visitation supper will not be back here. We're having fine arts back here, and it's going to be a mess. So there will be no visitation supper back here. It'll be up at the great room. I just do not see that. I guess it's there, but I don't see it. And then just a couple of announcements. Announce the Living Cross is coming up, and the tickets are available back here on all these tables out in the foyer. So if you would please stop by and pick up as many as you can use. We don't charge for folks to get into the Living Cross, but the tickets are just like a reminder. They help folks to remember, and the times and all that are there. So use the tickets as a reminder for folks to come. And then there's also some posters back there. If you have a business that you'd be willing to put up a poster or put one in the window of your car or whatever the case may be. Then we also need some nursery help during the Living Cross. And if you would be willing to earn lots and lots of valuable stars in your crown, just stop by and sign up at the welcome desk for that as well. And then the Bonds Forest Assisted Living Home in Finksburg needs someone to do a Bible study on a weekly basis for the residents. So those of you that are just chomping at the bit to do some preaching, and you're upset because I won't let you preach behind this pulpit, here's your chance, man. Just call Pastor Campbell, and here's your chance. You can just go down there once a week and preach your little old heart out, and God will use you. I tell you, folks, you be an encouragement to folks, and what a blessing that would be. And then we're looking for some help in our state fine arts, the school. The fine arts is going to be held this Friday, and if you'd be willing to help, contact Mrs. Dyson this week at extension 438 if you can help. We sure do need your help if you can help. All right, guys, if you'll come, we will pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering. Let's pray. Now, our Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. I pray you will bless the giving. May it be used to further the cause of Christ, the spreading of the gospel, and the work of the ministry here in our church. So, Lord, bless now, we pray, both the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 124, a promise that God has given us, God will take care of you. Shall we stand? Sing all together. 124.
Be not dismayed, God will take care of you every day for all the way.
and the second as the last.
Through days of
open your Bibles tonight, please, to John chapter 11. You can tell I'm not used to making the announcements and doing all that stuff. I went about 8 minutes over what we normally do. And you didn't say a word to me. You just let me do it. Huh? The preacher won't mind. Yeah, right. All right, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Been so used to saying Luca, said it subconsciously. All right, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and I need to read several verses here. It won't hurt you to hear this. We're going to do several verses tonight, about maybe 26 verses tonight, maybe. So let's read this story so we know what's going on. It said, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Christ, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." That could have been anybody, couldn't it? "When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death." Now, who did he say that to? Well, to the disciples who were standing around. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then, after that, saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We'll stop reading right there. Isn't that a great story? My soul, that's a wonderful thing, wonderful words that the Lord gives us here. So let's pray, and then we'll see what we can get out of this. Our Father, I pray your blessings now upon us, and Lord, I pray you'll help me as I speak tonight. I am very tired, and Lord, I pray you'll help me to stay focused and help me to say what needs to be said tonight. Give us understanding of the Scripture, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been studying the life of Christ chronologically, and we have been in the Gospel of Luke now for the last several months, actually since I think back almost at the end of the summer, where Luke details for us the teaching and events that happened while the Lord Jesus was across the Jordan in a region that is called in the Scriptures Perea. Now you will remember he left Galilee, he left the Sea of Galilee and Capernaum and all the towns of the Decapolis. He left that region and he came to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Dedication. And when he was there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all the other members of the Sanhedrin started plotting and designing a way that they could stone him, kill him, and get him out of the picture. And so when the threats became obvious, and when the word got out that they were going to try and kill him, Jesus took his disciples and left Jerusalem and went down the mountain, went down on the road that connected Jerusalem to Jericho, and went across the Jordan Valley and crossed over into the region beyond the Jordan River known as Perea. If you'll look back at chapter 10 in John, look at chapter 10 in verse 39. You see here John telling his account of the life of Christ. And in verse 39 it says, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Now look at verse 42. Many believed on him there. Where's there? It's Perea. The there, it was Perea. Now, John says nothing about his Perean ministry. John does not say anything at all about it. In chapter 10, he's in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Dedication. He's in Jerusalem. And then John just simply tells us in the last part of this 10th chapter that Jesus left there and went beyond the Jordan. In other words, he went to Perea. But John then tells us nothing about the Perean ministry. When John comes back into the story, two or three months of Perean ministry are over, and Christ is coming back to Jerusalem for the last time. And so, what caused him to come back? Well, in chapter 11, we see a tragic thing happen to some dear friends of his. Some friends of his that lived in the town of Bethany. Now, Bethany was a little town just outside of Jerusalem. We went past Bethany on our trip last week. We went past Bethany about three different times. But you cannot go into Bethany today and visit the sites or look at any of the sites because it is in what is considered the Palestinian territory. And so you can't go in there anymore. But we went past it. You could look over into the next, just crossed the onto the next ridge, and there is the modern city of Bethany. The old city of Bethany is underneath all the apartments and houses that they've built on the hillside. But a tragedy took place, and what happened here is that some of Christ's dearest friends lost a loved one. Lazarus died. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were all brothers and sisters, and they all lived in the same place. And Christ was a dear friend to these folks. As a matter of fact, every time he came to Judah to celebrate one of the feasts, or when he came to the Passover, he always stayed in the home of Mary and her sister Martha and their brother Lazarus. Now, this is not the beggar Lazarus that we talked about a few months ago. This is not the beggar Lazarus that the Lord was using to illustrate the matter of salvation to the Pharisees. This is not that fellow that sat outside the gate of the rich man and begged food. This is not that Lazarus. This is Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, his dear friends. And it seems that Lazarus had become ill, and his illness was quite serious to the point that his sisters thought they ought to turn to the Lord for some kind of help. Now, this shows us their faith in him, in that they sent word to Christ, and the word that was sent was this: "He whom thou lovest is sick," in verse 3. And I want you to notice that they made no specific request of the Lord here. They did not say, they did not send this fellow to the Lord with the message, "Please come, please hasten. I mean, get here as quickly as you can." That is not mentioned. They just simply sent word, "He whom thou lovest is sick." They trusted the Lord to meet the need in response to the message. They just simply expected that he would meet the need in response to the message. They simply revealed to him the facts, showing that they knew him, and they knew, they were quite confident that if he knew the facts, that he would come and that all would be fine. And the Lord Jesus revealed his omniscience in that he responded to the news by informing the disciples that this sickness that was announced would not result in death. He said that all of this was happening, verse 4, by divine arrangement, and it was for God's glory, so that God's Son might be glorified in the events that were going to happen. Now, look, please, if you will, at verse 4. Then when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." Now, you say, "But Pastor, Lazarus died." Well, this did not mean that Lazarus would not die. As a matter of fact, when word got to Christ, when this fella in verse 3 got to Christ, Lazarus was already dead. He was already dead. He died in the interim. I mean, Lazarus was already dead when the message arrived. The Lord meant here that death was not the final word. He knew that Lazarus was dead. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know that Lazarus was already dead?" Well, first of all, because in verse 14, Jesus said so. That's one way, you know. But Jesus said that he was. But then, secondly, do the math. The distance between Bethany and the place where Jesus was in Perea was a one-day travel. And once that fella got there, Jesus stayed Jesus tarried for another 2 days. And then it was a one-day journey back, right? And that makes how many days? 4. And you will notice in verse 17, it says, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he was laying in the grave," how many days? So when the messenger got to Jesus, Lazarus had already died by that time. You say, well, I would have never seen that. Well, yeah, you would have. If you'd have just read it and read it and read it and thought about it, you would have seen that. So the whole point is, this story is here for a reason. This is here to show us some very tremendous, wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at them. First of all, look at the plan to go to Bethany, to go to Judah, to go back basically to Jerusalem. Don't forget verse 4. This whole thing is happening so the Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified before His disciples. Look again at verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the, what's the next three words? Glory of God. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You see, the whole idea here is so that Christ could be glorified, so that the disciples would have their faith increased, their faith strengthened in who He was. Look at verse 14 and 15. Verse 14, Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. He said it plainly. And then in verse 15, He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? To the intent that ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto Him. So this phrase is the clue for understanding this miracle. Now, the Lord had previously said that He would not perform any public miracles to convince Israel that He was the Son of God. You remember that? Just a few months earlier, He said that He was not going to do any more public miracles in order to convince Israel that He was who He said He was. This is found in Matthew 12, verse 35, 36, somewhere in there. And then in verse 38, 39, and 40, He made the statement when He said the next sign that would be given to the nation would be the sign of Jonah. In other words, the resurrection, specifically His resurrection. So this miracle was not done for the benefit of Israel. This miracle was done for the benefit of authenticating His person to the disciples. Now, you got to realize, folks, that He is leaving Perea. He is coming to Jerusalem. The disciples know that He's not welcome in Jerusalem. The disciples know. Last time He was there, the wagons were being encircled, and the Sanhedrin was plotting to kill Him. And so He is authenticating His person. He is showing the disciples that He is the Son of God, and they need not fear. He is the Son of God, and He will handle things as God would have Him handle them. And so what happens? Well, they plan to go. And in verse 7, He just simply comes out and says to them, let us go into Judea again. Now, this announcement caused the disciples to protest. They argued vehemently, and they said, Lord, You can't go there. Last time You went there, the Jews tried to kill You. But the Lord made it very clear to them that He had to go. There was a reason He had to go. And that reason was to the intent that ye may believe, verse 15. To the intent that ye may believe. So for their sake, He tarried 2 days after the announcement was given that Lazarus was in need. He stayed 2 days. So Lazarus has already been dead 3 days. And then on the fourth day, He simply made the statement and said, we're going now to Judea. So for there, the disciples, for their sake, He tarried, and now for their sake, He is going to Bethany. There is a purpose here, folks, is what I'm saying. Let's move on quickly and look at the scene just outside of Bethany. Here's what happens. They go. And I could comment on Thomas's statement in verse 16. I could comment on that, but I want to move on because there's something else I want you to see, and I don't want to run out of time before you see it. Let's go to the scene just outside of Bethany. Jesus shows up at the tomb where Lazarus was buried. He had been in the grave, he had been in the ground 4 days. And I want you to notice the argument that ensues. Martha comes running out when she sees or when she hears that Jesus was there. Look at verse 18. It said, "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house." Now Martha came running when she heard the Lord was coming. Her hopes were dashed when Lazarus died. She didn't know what to do. She knew if Jesus had been there, he would not have died. If Jesus had been there, he certainly would not have died. And now 4 days have passed. And she hears that he has come, although 4 days late, nonetheless, he's there. And her hopes were instantly raised to new heights. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know that?" Well, Martha, look please at verse 20. Martha violated her Middle Eastern culture to leave the house and run to where Jesus was. You see, it was the culture was that the grieving ones stayed in the house and all of their friends came to comfort them. You did not leave your house for a week after someone had died, and all of your friends came and they ministered to you, but she violated the custom and the culture, and she left the house and ran to where the Lord Jesus was. She ran to meet him. Instead of waiting for him to come to her, she took off when she heard he was coming, and she ran to meet him. Now, notice that Mary did not leave the house. Did they not tell Mary? Yes, they told Mary. Martha and Mary would have been together in the house. But when the word came, Jesus is coming, she took off. She believed. Her hopes instantly were raised to new heights. And I believe Martha's intention was as sincere, honest, she was protesting her disappointment. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But she comes to the Lord, and she has a few things that are burdening her heart that she wants to say to Christ. Look at it. In verse 21, she said to him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now, let me explain that to you. If you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. You remember I've said to you on a number of occasions, would there have been anybody in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, in all the cities of the Decapolis, in all of the region of Galilee, would there have been anybody in Jerusalem who was sick when the Lord Jesus was ministering upon the earth? I don't know about you, but if one of my family members had gotten sick when Christ was ministering those 3.5 years, if any of my family members had gotten sick, I would have done everything in my earthly power to get them to him so he could heal their bodies. Wouldn't you? I mean, if one of my family members had died, I would have said, "Go get Jesus right now." And I would have asked him to raise them from the dead. And so I believe that Martha's intention was a sincere, honest, protesting disappointment. And I think what she is saying is this: "Lord, why didn't you hurry and come when we sent word to you?" But even in her disappointment, she had faith that even now, after 4 days, Jesus could do something to rectify the situation. She wasn't sure what he could do, I don't think, but she still believed in him, and I'm not sure that she was convinced that he could do something that would give her her brother back. This is proven by the fact that when the Lord said, take away the stone, she was the one that spoke up and said, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. Surely he stinks by now. I mean, my goodness, they didn't have embalming fluid back in those days. They wrapped you up in linen and poured smelly perfume all over you to hold down the stench. And they buried you in the ground with just a stone rolled across it and a little hole chipped in the side of the rock to let the stench out. I mean, listen, folks, it 4 days, and it was pretty bad around a grave site, and it was Martha that protested when the Lord said, roll away the stone. I'm not sure she was convinced that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, or that was not in her mind, but it, nonetheless, the Lord said, roll the stone away. And what she's doing here, she is grasping, hoping for the Lord to do just anything. And so grasping, she goes so far as to try to teach the Lord Jesus some theology. Yeah, look at it. Look at it. She said let's go back to verse 21. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said, well, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, now here she is, she's going to argue. Now listen, she said, well, now, Lord, I mean, we all know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. What's she doing? She's arguing theology with the one that the theology is about. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. All Jews, except for the Sadducees, all Jews, everyone, except for the Sadducees, believed in a general resurrection at the end of things. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, what was he saying? Well, there are two possibilities. First, it is possible that he was referring to what he knew he was about to do. That's one possibility. You say, well, what was he about to do? He was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. That's what. Second, I think it is possible that he was giving her a general reminder of the fact of a coming resurrection. A reminder that this life is not all that there is. Let me say it this way. He was giving Martha a gentle reminder that this life is not over just because a person dies. For there is a resurrection. The Old Testament taught a resurrection from the dead. And I tend to think that he might have been simply trying to comfort her with the promise of a resurrection, and that Martha evidently understood what he was saying, because she refused to be comforted with the idea of resurrection coming down the road someday. For that brought her no immediate comfort. She began to then discuss theology with him. Now, what was the lesson that was taught? Look, please, at verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, folks, we have a tendency to read that verse and get to that first part, I am the resurrection, and stop there and rejoice. But don't stop there and rejoice. Keep reading and rejoice even more. Not only is Christ the resurrection, but now wait a minute, he's the resurrection and the life. You can't get hung up on just the fact of the resurrection. You know, death is man's final enemy. All of us have we have thoughts about death. I mean, one of these days, and the older you get, the more you think about this, but one of these days, my obituary is going to be in the paper. One of these days, if Jesus tarries his coming, folks are going to go to one of the area funeral homes and they are going to sign a register and they're going to come by, look down in your casket and say some kind word under their breath or out loud so your spouse can hear it. Just again, whatever you say about me, don't say, doesn't he look good? Don't say that. That just irritates me. Doesn't he look good? No, he's dead. Don't say that. Now, whatever you do. But one of these days, you're going to die. That day is coming. This led Jesus to give us the sixth in the Gospel of John, the sixth great I am of the Gospel of John. I am the resurrection and the life. Now notice that. I am. It's in the present tense. Not I will be, or not I was, but I am. He said this in the present tense. He said it this way. Here's what he was saying. Wherever I am, there is resurrection. But more than that, for resurrection is nothing more than an incident. The greater part of the statement is not, I am the resurrection, as great as that is. The greater part of this statement is, I am the life. And I believe I am warranted in saying this because he went on to comment on what he said, and his comment was not concerned with resurrection, but was concerned with life. Look at how his words meet the need of every believer. Look at your Bible. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, look at how his words meet the needs of every believer. Imagine Jesus standing in front of Lazarus' tomb. Let me have a microphone here. You. Galen, is that you up there? Okay, thank you. Let's imagine that this is the tomb of Lazarus. And let's imagine that all of you are standing watching Jesus as he is debating Martha. And you're standing right where you are. Martha's here. Jesus is here. And Jesus, take your Bible now, look at your Bible. Jesus says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, watch me now, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, and he points to the tomb, he points to Lazarus. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You say, I don't get that, all right? Let me explain it to you. It's not hard. The Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And with this comment, he is meeting the needs of every believer. He is at Lazarus' tomb, and all the people are gathered, and in verse 25, he points to the body of Lazarus and says, he that believeth in me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he points to the people, and he says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Folks, he is telling us that it doesn't make any difference whether you're dead or whether you're alive. You are alive in him because he is the resurrection. In other words, he that believeth in me, though he die, by all the appearances as interpreted on the level of the earthly, he's not dead. He's not dead. He was saying the same thing he had said earlier when he said, your brother is not dead. Folks, listen, if you are a believer, you may physically die, but you will never spiritually die. To be absent in the body, Paul said, and to be present with the Lord. And so you've got Christ covering both needs here. Not only is he covering those that were alive, but he's covering those that are dead. I mean, if you know Christ is your Savior, your body might physically die, but the real person that we knew, the person we loved, is eternal, and they will not die. And you know what this shows me? It shows me that God sees death differently than we see it. God sees death differently than we see it. We will talk to someone we haven't seen in a long time, and we'll ask, oh, well, how's so-and-so doing? They'll say, oh, haven't you heard? I said, no, what happened? He died. He died. And when you think about it, that's almost a pagan way to look at it. If your loved one or your friend or whoever I was asking about knew Christ as personal Savior, I got news for you, dear friend. They're not dead. Now, they may no longer be here, but they're not dead. For if you know Christ is your Savior, the minute that you close your eyes in death here, you open your eyes in life there. That's the Word of God. That's the resurrection that is ours through the resurrection and the life. Oh, don't forget, the soul of man is eternal. You must live somewhere forever. And so as far as Christ was concerned, Lazarus was not dead. When Christ spoke to him, he was confident that Lazarus could hear him. We didn't read it, but you get on down here a little bit. Let's see, verse 39, I'll just read it for you. It says, got to hurry here. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Hey, folks, Jesus knew that Lazarus wasn't dead. He was alive. Oh, he physically was dead. But the real Lazarus, the soul, was not dead. There's no such thing as soul sleep. There's no such thing. You say, where'd that come from? Because the King James translators took the word cemeteros and they translated it sleep. They took the word cemeteros, where we get our English word cemetery, and they translated it sleep. It did not mean to sleep. And where did that come from? Well, you lay a person out, and you fold their hands over their chest, and they're laying there, and they look like they're asleep. And that's how they used to use the language years ago. Well, there's no such thing as soul sleep. Folks, you are an eternal soul. And your soul is either going to heaven when it dies, or it's going to hell when it dies. It's going to heaven because you're saved, or it's going to hell because you're not saved. And so the Lord is the resurrection and the life. When you die physically, your soul goes to be with Christ in heaven. It goes to be with Christ. But notice, not only did he cover, meet the needs of the dead, go back to verse 25. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What's that? that's the promise of the rapture. Do you realize, dear friend, that one of these days the trumpet is going to sound? That's what the Bible teaches. And the Lord verified it right here. Whosoever liveth. How many of you are alive tonight? Raise your hand. Some of you are in doubt about that, aren't you? And you didn't even go on the Israel trip with me. Whosoever liveth. How many of you believe? You're a believer. Amen. Do you realize that you might be the generation that will never have to physically die? Wouldn't that be something? You could brag about that for all eternity. I mean, you're walking down the streets of gold and Abraham walks by. Hey, Abraham, how you doing? And Abraham says, I was the first Jew. God called me out of Mesopotamia, sent me down to wander the land. You could just throw your chest out. I never had to die. Got raptured. Amen. But to be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord. If you do die, you still will be with the Lord. Because He's the resurrection. But don't stop there. He's the life. See the point? All right. Well, I'm not done, but I never am done. I don't think I've ever been done. We can pick this up next time. Look at the characters here so far. The disciples living in fear of death, verse 8. Thomas, verse 16, living in fear of death. Martha, when faced with death, seeming to just grope in the darkness filled with despair. And the whole point is there's nothing to fear in Christ. You just have nothing to fear when Jesus is around. And folks, He's here. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. He's here. And we can trust Him. We can trust Him. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, I just want to thank You for the Word. What a blessing to know the Word of God and understand the things of Scripture. And Father, I pray that You will help us now to realize what a tremendous passage of Scripture this is, filled with promise to those of us that know the Savior. Lord, if we know Christ is our Savior, we have nothing to fear. That great enemy of man, death has no sting for those of us that are saved. There is victory over the grave through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You so much that Your Son is the resurrection, but we also thank You that He is the life. And Lord, the life that we now have, the life that we now live, is all because of His great power and His great love. Father, thank You so much for Jesus. Now bless, we pray, as we conclude with an invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.